didn't even read your comment, Caleb, but about the wizard, is that something I can do, or is that something that...
Oh, yeah, you definitely could. Actually, I think that it would be beneficial, because one of the big drawbacks to wizards is they get so many goddamn spells that it is a shitload of reading. The only thing worse is the cleric.
Playing wizard is not for the faint of heart.
So, something I was thinking is that we will pick your first six spells, like, I'll help you with that, and then each level after that, you get two new spells. But instead of you just sifting through and wildly flailing, let's say we have to, you have to find a teacher or someone who has, someone who knows magic to teach you new spells, and they'll have a shortened list of what's available.
Are you shortening the list because I'm not capable of handling the full wizard experience?
No, because it's a pain in the ass.
Wizards have the longest spell list of them all.
Because I'll literally be asking you for advice on every spell I take. So that's why I'm asking you if you're cool with me doing the wizard. I really want to.
Well, see, John, here's the thing with you. You may ask a lot of questions up front, but you pay attention and you learn how it works, and then you apply that because you're a good player.
Just remember, as a wizard, you're essentially a glass cannon, which means you can blow things up, but if you get hit...
Oh yeah, I'm hiding behind you, Andy, don't worry.
Andy, you better be bringing the weight and the muscle.
Be our tank, Andy.
You don't have to be a tank, you can be whatever the hell you want.
I know.
I once had party with three rogues in it, and they were a machine gun of death.
That's cool.
The fighter would walk into combat, get surrounded, and then because all of those enemies were within 5 feet of one of their allies, they all got advantage.
Yep.
Which gave them sneak attack every turn.
Oh yeah. I can say from experience that sneak attack makes all the difference.
Okay, well, I'm in. I'm going to be a wizard, and I'm going to do everything I can to get the greatest armor ever created in D&D.
I'm not wearing any armor.
I would also recommend against anyone wearing heavy armor, as it takes 10 minutes to take armor off, and you sink like a rock while wearing it.
I was literally thinking like a robe that's enchanted that would have plus whatever for armor.
Yeah, if you can get some enchanted leather armor, that'd be pretty awesome.
Or even
fancy robes. Leather
robe. I'm going to be wearing one giant robe. I want to look like the wizard from the Sword in the Stone.
Sweet. Cloak of Defense.
That can be arranged. Get some enchanted robes going at some point, and you're good to go, because if they're enchanted for armor, it doesn't really matter. It could be, you know, enchanted underwear, and it solves the problem.
Give me an enchanted thong, I'll wear.
I'm going to note that down somewhere.
That was Merlin from Sword in the Stone, eh?
Yep.
What's Merlin? How do you say that backwards?
Nilrim?
Nilrim, yep.
Okay, that's my name. I'm Nilrim.
Nilrim. Sure, sounds good.
Am I gonna need my paper this session?
I mean, you'll probably want to be filling shit out because we're going to go over a crap ton of stuff.
Like, are we going to roll for our character stats and all that today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're definitely doing that shortly. So the way I want to start this out is that you guys would be starting on a ship that is heading from a far continent across the deep ocean towards the archipelago. I promise your options widen very rapidly from there. But that way it gives you no direct tie or loyalty to anything that is going on.
That sounds awesome.
Because there's a shit ton of things going on, and there's a shit ton of things that you have absolutely no need to get involved in.
Story of my life.
So do we want to start with stats?
Yeah, we might as well get those out of the way. Give us an intro.
You want an intro? All right. The Isles of the Orange Sea, named so for the rusty sand that sits at the bottom of it,
has, for many ages past, shifted its borders quite often due to the three major governments that control the archipelago. Recently, there had been peace, but the last 5 years have been rather trying on the archipelago. What was once thought to be just the ramblings of an old sailor crying about the golden compass that he saw a glimmer of once in his younger years have turned out to be true. One of the pieces turned up 3 years ago. That launched a treasure frenzy in the region. Like, word has reached the mainland, which is a several month adventure across the ocean. And all three nations wanted their own. However, this caused a spike in piracy, as well as trading, as many merchant ships claim no affiliation with any other political power. Then a year ago, the heiress to the matriarchy, so the princess in the city of Prince Vale went missing about a year ago. This caused fingers to start being pointed at political abduction, possible assassinations. A bounty was put out for her return, and an equally large bounty for whoever on the head of whoever was caught with her, as they were her kidnappers. But that did not help the political situation in the region at all, as this was also seen as weakness by the other nations. Port Central launched the first attack, and for the last 8 months, they've been firing cannonballs at each other as they drive by. That is the political situation going on in the region. However, what the map says they control and where they actually have soldiers are two very different stories. No. The islands are full of various tribes that live there deep in the jungles or high up on mountains that have nothing to do with anybody else. There are also pirate coves hidden and other smaller settlements. The map you were given of the region only shows the general, like the major centers. And the spots with the black dots in them are capitals. So Prince Vale, and they are color-coded to which country they belong to. So Prince Vale rules over, if you look at the colored map, Prince Vale, Central Port, and Trivium are the three major capitals of the region. We'll learn about some of the other spots later. I don't want to give you everything up front.
Fair enough.
Having heard of the treasures and wonder that were supposed to be out here, many people have embarked on a long journey trying to get out here to claim, to make it rich. You find yourselves on a passenger ship, tightly crowded, making its way along. When on the horizon, a black ship appears. The black flag. That's where I'm going to cut things off for right now. We're going to create some characters.
Woohoo! I'm really excited.
I am expecting to have this be a combination of dark bullshit and hilarious reactions.
So pretty much our usual.
Yep. Yep. I will present you dark and scary situation, like problems. What's everyone's comfort level? Like, again, my usual rules of no torture on children and no non-consensual shenanigans.
Yep. Both of those things. That's about my lines too.
What the fuck was?
Yeah, like you're talking about Kirby shit. There's no room for that here. So tell me this: can I be a dark elf but still be friends with good and neutral people?
Sure. I do not prescribe to the idea that that an entire race is evil or good. You're gonna get dickheads and nice people in every race. However, the dark elves do have sunlight sensitivities, so your eyes aren't that good during the day.
What's a high elf?
High elves? High elf, wood elf. Let me pull that up right.
Yeah, there's like the dark high and wood elf. I was a wood elf with my sorceress, so I know that. And the dark elf sounded neat until you said that eyesight thing. But I will be hiding behind my party, so it won't matter. I just like the darkness. I want to be like a dark character.
As far as...
I mean, if you wanted to, like, there is not a whole lot that is off the table race-wise. I mean, lizard folk are fun because they think everything is food.
Okay, I'm lizard folk, but that's not on the spellbook option as a race.
Well, then yeah, let me...
What's Tiefling?
Oh?
Tiefling are like the demon people. And then there's a couple different kinds of Tiefling. They innate all of them... Let's see, what is there? Okay, alignment, don't worry about that. Size is medium, about the same size as humans. 60 feet dark vision. Resistance to fire damage.
What do they look like? Almost buds.
See, that's the beautiful thing about a Tiefling is that they can look like a shitload of things. The typical ones that you'll see artwork for have like horns coming out of their head, but they look human. Most of them, or some of them, have tails. If you want a tail, you can have a tail. But it depends on whether they are like who their demon, whether it was a fae, fiend, or devil that spawned them. Do you know what a Rakshasa is?
No.
Give me one second here. Load the picture, you piece of shit. Why will you not? You know what? Fuck you. I'm going to go to the internet.
I don't even have that as an option in race in that spellbook you got me about.
Oh, it's definitely not a race. However, it is an often overlooked... overlooked option or lineage.
What are you looking up right now?
Image of a Rakshasa. They're like a tiger person, except that their hands are backwards.
They take up residency in the city of Dis.
I like it. Can I be that as a wizard?
How long will it take you?
Sure.
So my class would be Rakshasa.
No, your race is Tiefling. But your non-human heritage would have been from one of those. Whether that was your mommy or your daddy is up to you. Which, all right, let's find the Tiefling part that would correspond to that. So
my race is a Tiefling. My class is a wizard. And where does Rakshasa come in?
It's just for flavor. Because a normal Tiefling...
Normally, Tieflings take up their residency from Beelzebub or other greater demons. So technically, a Rakshasa does count. And you could flavor your thing to look more like a cat than a demon.
What if I wanted to look like a demon cat?
I'm sure it could be. I don't think there are limitations.
I want a demon cat wizard Tiefling named Nowhere.
You know what? Fuck it. Sure, we'll figure that out. I have no idea what that looks like, but sure.
Neither do I, but it just sounds pretty wild, and I like random shit.
I mean, maybe your mommy or daddy was a half demon or half devil, half Rakshasa, and then they screwed your human parent, and now you.
I'm a demigod.
Yeah, Saina.
There are a couple different subtypes. You are going for wizard, so let me just shortlist these. What's going to help you?
That female one looks dope.
So there is one subtype gives you plus one intelligence, plus two charisma. Then you get the thaumaturgy cantrip. And then at third level, you can cast Ray of Sickness as a second level spell once with this trait. Regain the ability to do so after you finish a long rest. At fifth level, you can cast Crown of Madness spell once with this trait. And then can't do it again until you finish a rest. Charisma is your spellcasting ability for those. Another one. Let's see what else. Mammon gives you plus one intelligence, plus two charisma. You'll know the Mage Hand cantrip. At third level, you can cast Tensor's Floating Disc spell once with this trait and regain the ability to do so once you have a short or long rest. Tensor's Floating Disc is essentially like a 5-foot dinner table that floats around and follows you.
Can you sit on it?
You can, but it will not move unless the caster moves and it just kind of follows up to 20 feet behind them.
Oh, okay.
That's my Rakshasa tiefling?
I'm not there.
Yeah.
That's a lot of information, but I'll learn as I go, eh?
Yeah, here, I'll send you the information for your subtype.
That is a really badass picture that you added, Megan. Thank you.
I think I like that last male one that was playing with fire in his hands.
He said,
I want to kind of look like that, but I don't want to be red.
Sorry, what was that about a color?
I don't want to be red, but that last picture you sent with that fire male demon that was playing with fire in his hand?
Yeah.
I like that.
Look more at the bone structure. You can fuck around with everything else from there.
I want to look like a normal human with horns. Like.
So the two pictures I just sent you are the base information. You have resistance to fire.
Yeah.
And... Oh no, you have resistance to fire, and then we changed your infernal legacy because we went with the other one. No. So you need to write down that you have dark vision up to 60 feet, resistance to fire, your size is medium, all of this is in there, and then the legacy of Minerus is what you get as your spells progress. Didn't even look what you can do.
So I get legacy of Minerus.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing then?
Okay, so I'll write that down.
Yeah, and then you're going to, whatever you get for stats, you're going to get a plus one intelligence and a plus two charisma. So beside the boxes, like outside of them, just write like a plus one beside intelligence, plus two to beside charisma.
Okay, I did that. And I got dark vision, resistance to fire, and legacy of Minerals.
Okay, that should be a good start. Now, everybody get 3d6s.
Ready.
Roll.
I got 8.
Right? Andy?
12.
Ooh, Andy rocked it.
Megan?
6.
Okay, do it again.
No. I fucking 8 again.
No. 9.
9.
Okay. Now, everybody grab one more d6, and we're going to roll 4d6, drop the lowest.
So I'm rolling 1d6 four times?
So you roll 4d6, and then subtract whatever the lowest one from that is.
14.
10.
Got 12.
Got 12. Alrighty, again.
Oh my gosh. 7. 9.
What was that, John?
9.
Andy?
The last roll was 14.
Why am I rolling such shit? I'm sorry, guys.
That's... You got two four... is that the second 14?
Oh, no. I'll reroll. Better. 17.
What?
Oh, good.
How are you rolling such awesome numbers?
17. That's insane.
Yeah, that works. And then we're going to do that one more time.
Oh, finally.
Fuck, man. I got a 6.
Jesus.
Well, I'm just not rolling tonight.
16. 11.
What was that, Megan?
16.
Alrighty. For this one, I want you to roll 5d6s and drop the lowest 2.
Ten. My biggest one yet, and it still sucks.
10.
13.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
We're all gonna die.
I pulled a 17 out there earlier.
And a 14. You presented 2 of the highest rolls. We have 8 stats under 10.
Oh my god. Can we re-roll those?
I will let you erase...
Mulligan.
I will let you drop the...
I was kidding. You don't have to let us reroll anything.
I'll let you wager 3 of those rolls. The 2 sixes and the 7. However, you have to reroll them as 3d6 straight.
So I just roll 3d6 straight up?
You 3 want to take that offer?
Yes, yes. I can't get worse than I got. So yes.
Sure.
He's already got a number. Megan?
Oh, 13.
John?
Fucking 6, man. I got a fucking 6.
It could have been worse. It could have been a 3.
Yep. It could definitely have been worse. I probably wouldn't have even let you play a 3 because dogs are smarter than that.
I'm a fucking wizard, man. I'm gonna have the lowest stats ever. I'm gonna be fucking slack.
Oh. You don't have to be strong. You just have to be smart. Big brain. All right. Now I need a d20 roll from each of you.
Five.
A 10. I just Nilrim is just not happy.
I got an 8.
Wow.
I know.
Andy, did you think you'd be going first with a 10?
I got a 10 too. No. Man, this is some sort of something. I don't know what to say.
Oh, wait, Andy, you got the 5, right?
Yes.
So sorry, John is going first with a 10.
Man, I feel sorry for both of you if I'm going first.
Well, that's all right. Would I be safe in assuming that you will want to take the highest available roll?
Yes.
Alrighty. Look at your character classes and race options for a minute. I will divvy this up and then put it, post it in the group chat in a moment.
Was that for our stats, like strength, dexterity, and everything?
I
I'm taking those numbers. Yes. So you're going first.
That means you get the highest number.
That's okay. It means we have room for growth because we are at level one.
Real talk.
I'm going to die first session, I call it.
I'm going to hide under your corpse and try and stay alive.
You will not be able to hide under my corpse.
Why is that?
Because I'm a fucking fairy. I'm tiny.
I will hide behind Andy's, I guess.
But the stats are up.
Ooh. Brutal.
Yep.
I'm kind of intimidated by all this random stuff I'm trying to do, but I'm sure I'll learn it.
Bro, I'm going to be dumb.
You're never dumb, Andy. You rocked it.
Well, everybody's got to pick at least one stat that they really suck at.
That's going to be my strength.
Same.
John, I posted the stats in the group chat. What do you need help with?
Life.
Okay, well, what can I help you with in the game?
So I just put these stats under wherever I want?
Yep.
Where, as a wizard, where should I put my 17?
If you put it into intelligence, because you get a plus one to it because of your race, that'll bump it to an 18, which will give you a plus four out the gate.
So that sounds like a good idea, right?
Yeah. After that, you're going to want Constitution to be one of those 12s.
In Constitution, I don't have...
And you don't have any bonus to it, but that's okay, because that's at least going to give you a plus one when you get health.
What about my other 12? Do I need it in Charisma?
Yeah, you could go with Charisma. Or you could put one of your lower stats into that and it would bump it up. Like you put that 10 in there, it would become the 12. It would become another 12.
Where would that other
12? The other 12 you could put into Dexterity, which gives you a plus 1 to armor.
I like it, I'm doing it.
Then you've got a plus one charisma, a plus one.
Plus two for charisma, right?
If you put the 10 in there, it would only be a plus one because it's 12. If you put 12 in there, it would be a plus two.
I put the 10 in charisma to make it a 12, and I put my other 12 in dex.
We should introduce her.
And so I all guess the... 9 wisdom and 6 strength.
9 wisdom, 6 strength, yeah. That makes sense. And how are the other two of you doing?
Good-ish.
Guys, I'm sorry. I rolled like everything bad.
So did I.
No, it wasn't just you, dude. Like, before I let you re-roll, we had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stats under 10, and 3 of them were at 10. Like, those were just... some bad rolls.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. But Caleb's gonna give us some fun magic stuff, right? So that we don't all die.
I mean, probably. That's what I am.
Mushrooms around here.
Oh, don't worry, John. I've got something special planned for you. All right, so John, in hit dice, you're gonna put 1d6. Yes, where it says total.
None.
Okay, your hit points are going to be 6 plus your constitution modifier, so that should put you at a 7.
Okay.
Under proficiencies, you are proficient in no armor. Weapons.
I rate that in other proficiencies, no armor.
Yeah, you're not proficient in any armor. However, for weapons, let me know when you're ready for weapons.
I'm ready.
Then it would be daggers, darts, slings, quarterstaff,
and light crossbows. In your saving throws up at the top, you are proficient in intelligence and wisdom. So put a little black dot in those in the circle beside them.
Done.
So the fun thing with wizards is that they can learn and write down an unlimited number of spells, provided you have the money and the time. But you can only prepare, what is it? You must expend...
Like in Baldur's Gate, that was third edition, D&D rules. When I was a wizard, I could just pick up any spell book from any killed enemy and literally just learn all their spells. But only the wizard
could do that. You can, but I think it's 1 hour and 50 gold per level of the spell to copy it down into your own book.
Oh yeah, all that shit's a click of the mouse, so I didn't know all the math behind it. But...
That's okay. We can do that. There's also... One of the reasons I recommended Arcana to you is because if you are proficient in Arcana and you have time and the party's willing to invest money, you can make spell scrolls.
What would be the purpose of that? Like I can just give them to my party to cast spells that I can cast?
Anyone who has the spell appear on their spell list can cast it. So...
Do they have to have learned that spell, or can I just make a ridiculously powerful spell and give it to, like, a fucking barbarian to use?
You couldn't give it to a barbarian, but they wouldn't have... Like, it could be a ninth level spell, but say it's a spell that both you and a bard get. The bard doesn't have to be able to cast ninth level spells. It just has to be on the list of possible spells.
I get. Okay. Well, that's handy. So I get that under a feature and trait?
That's just a thing being proficient in Arcana, but you could definitely write that down. It's a bit of an expensive process, and I really don't recommend making them above third level because it doesn't work out to be worth your time. But there's a shitload of first, second, and third level spells that you can do a lot of things with. You can also sell them.
What is that called?
It's not really called anything. You can just write can make scrolls. We'll find you that information later because it's several weeks to make a scroll.
All right. What about, so do I start with the armor and all? You know what? I apologize to Megan and Maddie for being annoying and taking up lots of.
You're not annoying at all.
Okay. So for armor, what do I start with?
Right now you would have 10 plus dexterity, so 11.
So my AC is 11?
Yep.
What do I write down for armor?
You don't have any armor.
So I'm naked?
I mean, you've got clothes, I assume, unless you want to be naked.
No, I won't have my robe yet then. I'll just be like a bummy ass wizard.
I mean, you could have a fancy looking robe. It's just a robe.
It can't be fancy. But yeah, I'll wear a beginner's apprentice, whatever, robe.
So, we gotta pick three cantrips. And
yeah, Caleb, just to speed up the process, I totally trust your judgment. We need some cool ones.
While I'm grabbing stuff and sending it over to John. John, by the way, out of your spell book, like you can write down an unlimited number, but you can only prepare, like stick in your brain right now 5, your intelligence modifier plus your wizard level. But you can cast them as many times as you have spell slots for, which isn't a lot right now.
But my wizard level is 1 and my intelligence modifier is +1, which would make it 2.
Isn't your intelligence modifier a +4?
You told me +1. If it's +4, I'm at like 21 intelligence.
You put the 17 in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 17 +1 is 18.
Right.
So that's a +4 modifier.
Oh, okay. So help me with my modifiers. That's that little bubble under there. So every 2 over 10, I get a +1?
Yes.
So a 12 is a +1.
Yep.
My 18 would be a +3.
4.
4, 2, 4, yeah, okay. And my 9 would be 0, or -1?
9 would be -1.
And a 6 would be -2?
Let's see, 9, 8.
Minus 4.
7, 6. 6 is still a minus 2. You're good. One more and it would be a minus 3.
So my 9's minus 1.
Yep.
Okay, sorry. Now I got that down.
What spells do you know out the gate?
I don't even know if there's healing cantrips, but if there is, throw one in there.
Right, you're also going to write down spell save DC is 8 plus your proficiency bonus plus your intelligence modifier, so that's 8, 10, 14. So spell save DC 14. Next level, worry about your arcane tradition, luckily.
I got proficiency bonus, that's blank, spell casting ability, and spell attack bonus.
Andy, do you know how many spells a wizard starts with?
One second.
I'm not seeing it here. Oh, shit. Never mind. Found it. It is 6.
6 level 1 spells?
Yeah, but you can only prepare 5 of them each day, so you're going to have to pick one of them that you're not going to cast that day.
So slots total are 6, but my slots expended are 5? Is that how that works?
So you have a book. The book presently has 3 cantrips and 6 spells in it. The cantrips are just always in your brain. They can't be taken away from you.
Okay.
But each day, you got to open up the book and look at all your leveled spells and choose 5 to prepare. So that you'd have ready to cast that day.
Okay, so for slots expended, that's they want me to keep track on this paper. I do that on a separate paper. I just write 6 under slots total. And
no, your spell slots, you only have 2 spell slots, 2 first level spell slots right now. Wizard's a fair bit to keep track of. I'll send you the tape.
So I only have 2 spell slots, but what is this? I start with 6 spells and I can prepare 5. But if I only have 2 slots, how do I prepare 5?
So you have a book that'll have 6 spells in it. You can pick 5 of them that you like study at the beginning of the day so you know what they do.
Okay.
Those are the only ones you can cast that day. Okay. And then you have 2 spell slots to cast any of those 5.
Right now, I'm being dumb, so I can cast 2 spells of the 5 that I choose.
No, it's okay. It's an extra level that the sorcerer doesn't have. Actually, that none of the damned casters have. I'll send you some tables, and then on to spells.
And Caleb, for real, just totally picked my spells for me, and I'm just going to agree with you. Just to speed up this process.
And how are the other two of you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just looking for a name.
Andy seems like he's a veteran D&D player. Are you a vet, Andy?
I've been playing for a while.
That's awesome. I played a bunch of years, like 3 or 4 years when I was a child, and then lost it. I don't know what happened, and 20 years later, I'm playing again.
Honestly, wizards are hard. I even had struggled to play a wizard.
Okay. As long as you're not too annoyed, I really want to give it a go.
Yeah, not at all.
Let's see. You're going to have fun with Acid Splash, I can tell.
It is a good one.
Yeah, you send me 3 cantrips and 6 spells, I'll accept them all. It's going
Would you rather firebolt or create bonfire? Firebolt goes further, but if you concentrate, you can keep...
Yeah, I've had them both.
Add them both?
I've had them both. I can create 3 bonfires at a time with a wizard?
No, you can only have 1 going at a time. Oh, yeah. It's a concentration.
Right, so that thing keeps it every turn to get damage, and the other one was just a bolt. It's... instant damage that goes away, right?
You know, I can see you being a real asshole with this spell. Take it. And
so I'm writing down If I have to choose out of those two, I'll probably do Create Bonfire. I really like that one.
I prefer it. It's half the range, but, you know, you can light a whole fucking village on fire with it in a matter of a minute.
Oh, yeah, that's just another thing I need.
Don't light our boat on fire.
Bonus and speed. I won't, no.
Okay, so you got four cantrips because of your subtype gives you Mage Hand. So I've sent you those. Give me a minute and I'll grab you some.
This friend's one. So if you ask for a charisma check, I can cast that spell before I roll.
No, you'd have to cast it on them going up to them.
So I'd have to predict a charisma check to use this?
Yeah, but it does give you up to a full minute to that they think that they're friendly towards you.
But this only affects if there's a charisma check, right?
You have advantage. Well, charisma tricks directed at one creature of your choice that isn't hostile towards you. It would also change their role-playing towards you as well. And the entire interaction, they would go from being indifferent to thinking that you were good beer buddies, essentially.
Even entering a battle.
That isn't hostile towards you.
It isn't hostile. So if I go into a place where I think I might be sus, I can cast friends before we enter it and go low-key and be everyone's friend for a minute.
Yes, although at the end of the minute, they do know that you cast magic on them, and they're none too happy about it.
Would you be able to recommend me a different cantrip than that one?
All right.
So I got Create Bonfire, Mage Hand, and Acid.
You know what? This is probably the best catch-all spell. It's not a combat spell, but it does a shitload of stuff. It's called Prestidigitation.
I love that one.
You know what that is? I've never heard of it. Minor magical trick that not a spell.
It's a good utility spell.
Holy shit, it does a million and a half things.
Yeah.
Yep. That's why it's so good.
And it lasts a whole hour.
You'll never have to bathe again.
Yeah, you could just cast that on yourself to clean yourself.
And I can create an image that fits in my hand so I can, like, lie to people and say I have something that I don't, shit like that, eh?
Yes.
I like it. I'm in. Prestidigitation. Fuck, I can't even say it. I'm supposed to be a teacher, bro.
Prestidigitation.
Prestidigitation. You said I have five cantrips. I'm only at four right now.
No, you only have four cantrips. You get three for being a wizard and one for just being you.
Okay, cantrips are done.
You rather enjoy having Unseen Servant, don't you?
Is that where I can, like, some little ghost being out?
Yeah, the ghost guy that shows up and does your shit for you.
I love it, yeah.
And because it's a ritual, you don't actually have to prepare it, provided that you can take 10 minutes out of your day to cast it.
Oh, yeah, I'll do it while I'm on the toilet. Could you give me a healing spell, even, like, one that, like, helps my party? Like, I don't know, like, Final Fantasy, if I'm thinking, like, shields or things that protect me from magic or physical attacks or barriers of some kind.
All right. I'm gonna keep that one. Push that for now. Something that protect. Change of self.
I I feel so guilty for taking the 17 when I didn't roll over a 10.
It's all good.
How did you, Megan, you like when we first played, you were pretty new to the game, right?
Yeah.
How the hell did you learn so quick?
I get obsessive and I do nothing but read and play around with character sheets and message Caleb about 600 times today.
Well, that's all. And also, I want to let you know, like, we should really continue your campaign. You were doing a great job. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Caleb's the master, right?
Definitely.
You are good.
We are all good in different ways.
No, I just limp around and ask for advice, but...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, dude. You, by the end of your first campaign, had mastered the spell point system so that you could manipulate it to do exactly what you wanted it to do.
I really did love my sorceress.
I have one more.
I haven't received anything, but I guess...
No, I haven't sent them yet.
Okay, I'm excited. Sorry. I have a half chub.
You know what? That's never a bad spell to have.
Half chub?
No, I mean, I didn't know that was a spell.
It could be.
So I sent you Featherfall, so up to 5 creatures within 60 feet of you. It's a 1 reaction to cast, and up to 5 creatures slow their fall for the next to 60 feet per round until the spell ends. So you slow down and you don't fall to your death. Ice Knife, which lets you fling a shard of ice up to 60 feet away. You make a ranged spell attack on the target, and on a hit, the target takes 1d10 piercing damage. Hit or miss, the shard then explodes. Each target within 5 feet of it must succeed on a dex saving throw or take 2d6 cold damage.
That's fucking amazing. That first one, the way I heard it, so I'm like Neo from the Matrix, I can slow down time and still fight to normal time, is that what you meant?
It slows you down if you're falling. You went up to 5 creatures within 60 feet.
So we can jump out a window and not die.
Yes.
Okay, but I love it. Keep going.
I mean, you could also be wrestling somebody and decide to throw yourselves off the cliff when they're like, we're both gonna die. You'd be like, no, not both of us, assholes.
Yeah.
We got like Featherfall, then the ice knife that you throw the ice knife, and whether you hit or miss, it then blows up. And everybody must make a save. Mage armor. 1 action. Touch lasts for 8 hours. You touch a willing creature, who could be you, who isn't wearing armor, and a protective magical force surrounds it until the spell ends. The target's AC then becomes 13 plus its dexterity modifier.
Oh, I can use that every fight. I love it.
And you can cast it once a day and it's just there. It's not concentration, it just lasts, which would bump your AC to a 14.
Love it. I know what Unseen Servant is. I accepted that one already. What's the other two? Witch Bolt. I've seen that. I've used that before. I had it. I like it.
It's a good use of a spell. And then the last one is, it's classic wizard territory. I had to give it to you. Magic Missile.
I love it.
Oh, man, I use that. Like, I love it. I've used it in my game, like, literally obsessively.
Yeah, you create 3 glowing darts of magical force. Each dart hits a creature of your choice that you can see within range. It cannot miss unless somebody casts shield or is wearing very specific items, and those are not common items. The darts deals 1d4 plus 1 force damage to its target. All the darts all strike simultaneously, and you can direct them to hit 1 creature or several. And then if you upcast it, it just adds 1 more dart. Eh. But it has a range of 120 feet. So, you know, in ship-to-ship combat, that might not be a bad thing.
I love it. So I'm totally in on all 6 of those.
Gives you 3 killing spells and 3 quality of life spells, one of which literally gets you your own butler.
So few more questions. Proficiency bonus, initiative, speed.
All right. Spellcasting ability is your intelligence. Your proficiency bonus is +2. Your speed is 30 feet.
So my spellcasting ability is 18.
Your spellcasting ability is +4.
+4, the modifier. Okay.
Yeah.
Spell attack bonus.
Spell attack bonus would be 4 plus proficiency, so 6.
And I don't even know what inspiration is. I never had that, or initiative.
Initiative is what you use at the beginning of combat. For you, that's a +1 because of your dex. Don't worry about inspiration. I'm not going to explain it. It's a long conversation that most people forget about.
Okay. And what about my passive wisdom perception thing? That's another weird box I don't use.
That would be 10 plus your wisdom modifier. So what's your wisdom mod?
-1.
All right. So you have a passive perception of 9.
That sounds good.
You got your nose in a book all the time.
Yeah. Or the bag of weed.
Both. It's hard to juggle a pipe and a book at the same time.
For real. So as far as alignment, background, I can choose all that myself, right?
Background, you're going to want to look at some of the options in the table, but they don't add a stupid amount of stuff to worry about. I'm going to let you... Do you have a list of backgrounds there in the app?
No. One sec, let me...
Andy, what did you settle on?
I'm going to be a Goliath cleric. Not cleric, paladin.
There's no backgrounds, Caleb, I checked.
Alrighty.
Paladin's what I don't know, just give me, you recommended, Andy, give me a background for Nilrim, for the Tiefling Rakshasa.
One second, let me look up something quickly.
Something like darker.
Variant criminal spy? Variant sailor, pirate.
Oh, that's the one.
Yes. You're a pirate on the run from the law in your homeland, so you're coming to somewhere else. That'll probably result in you being a pirate.
I love it. Variant, what is it? Variant pirate?
Yeah, background sailor / pirate. So, under skill proficiencies, you're going to put in the little bubble, fill it in for athletics and perception.
Okay.
Tool proficiencies, you'll need to write that, put that in the little box on the bottom left. And put navigator tools and water vehicles.
Navigator tools and water vehicles.
Yep. So congratulations, you know how to run a boat. You also get some
equipment. Navigator tools and what?
Water vehicles.
Nice. Okay.
You also get a belaying pin, which like a club. 50 feet of silk rope. A lucky charm, like some sort of trinket that's a lucky charm to you. A set of common clothes and a belt pouch containing 10 gold pieces.
And what was that one, that club thing?
Belaying pin. It's just a really big bolt.
What's that for?
For repairing ships. It's like a foot-long bolt.
Oh, okay.
That you can hit people with.
Does it have a... Should I put it under my weapons?
Yeah. And then for your weapons, let me grab the items app. The club. What's your strength?
Minus two, six.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Maybe I should have chose the dagger.
Well, the club that you get, you would roll zero on it because wait, is the wizard in the weapons that you wrote down that you were proficient with? Did club come up?
It was daggers, darts, slings, quarterstaff, and light crossbow. I should have chosen a light crossbow.
Okay, so if you hit somebody with the club, you swing with a minus two.
The quarterstaff.
And then, and then the damage for that would be 1d4 minus two damage.
Well, that sucks. What about the quarterstaff?
Yeah, let's bounce over to that quarterstaff. Quarterstaff.
Can I change the quarterstaff to a light crossbow?
Yeah, you definitely can.
Yeah, I don't think that.
Oh no! Wait, it gave you the option of starting equipment of either a dagger or a cross or a quarterstaff. You're proficient in a light crossbow. However, you do have 10 gold. Let's see how much that would cost.
I'll get it later.
A crossbow, 25 gold. Damn it.
So my quarterstaff, I assume, is minus two again for attack bonus, eh?
Yeah, but you're proficient with this one, so it's just a straight roll, just a zero d20. You roll the d20, you get what you get. Because your proficiency adds plus two, your strength adds minus two.
So my attack bonus is zero?
Yeah, your attack bonus is zero, and the damage is 1d6 minus two.
So just a little bit less shitty.
If you wield it with two hands, it becomes 1d8 minus two.
Okay, well...
Yeah, wizards don't do a lot in the way of healing, but they've got some pretty fucking crazy abilities.
Okay.
All right. So our wizard is mostly put together, I believe. Andy, you said you were building a Goliath Paladin. And Megan, how's your... what class did you end up settling on, Megan?
I went with Druid.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm really leaning into the fairy thing.
I like it because that means that you're going to constantly be shape-changing into other things.
Which will be fun. Yeah, especially considering I've got a whopping 9 hit points.
Jeez.
But my AC is 12, so that's not the worst. Caleb, I did have a question.
What is your question?
One of the weapons I have is the dart, and I know that that's, you know, something that to be thrown, but I was wondering if I could reflavor it to be one of those things you blow out of a hollow tube, and then she could carry around a little bamboo shoot that's hollow, and then blow it out of there.
Blow dart.
Yeah. Sure. Except your blow darts are like javelin size to you. Like they're still the size of a needle, but to you
they're
still
a little bigger. Yeah.
I'll hold your darts for you if you need, don't worry.
All right. So yeah, that's totally fine. She can just shoot them out of a little blowgun.
Sweet. I got a few languages that I just pretty much picked randomly because why not?
Oh yeah. Do we get languages we choose or?
Yeah, you're right. I did not go over languages with you, John.
What's yours, Megan?
I speak common because everyone does, druidic because I'm a druid, and then I also took gith and primordial.
What the hell is gith?
I'll have to send you a picture. There's really no app description I can come up with.
What's mine, Caleb?
I'm just checking to see
You speak, read, and write common and infernal.
What is infernal?
The language of, shit, is that demons or devils? One of them.
So, in theory, if I am a demon or a devil, which one am I?
Shit. I've read Shasta again. Medium fiend, that doesn't narrow it down, you piece of shit. Guys.
Okay, I'm sending you... Or I'm sending a picture of the Gith to the group chat. Basically, they were a race of humanoids that were enslaved by the Mind Flayers. And I just think they're cool.
Mind Flayers is another race?
Nope, yeah, they're if you see a tentacle face man, kill it. Or run.
Or yeah, possibly run.
Because if they catch you, they'll eat your brains.
And you won't like that very much.
That's assuming they don't enslave you first.
Yeah. One of the things I am most excited for is using magic stone. Do you recognize that? I get to throw pebbles at people that are imbued with magic.
I would just like to say that they also work with slings.
Yeah. I thought they might.
Wizard get any languages just for being a wizard? No, they do not. Okay.
So am I a demon or a devil? Because I was just wondering if I'm a devil. So if I face other devils, will they be friendly towards me?
I mean, it can't hurt that you can be like, hey, you know, I'm like you, right? Like, we're on the same side here. Demons, however, will not like you. Demons and devils hate each other.
Fuck those demons.
I mean, they are a disorganized, chaotic lot that just destroy everything. Like, even though you personally haven't been to the Nine Hells, you know that the Nine Hells has many, like, well-built cities that are quite organized and well set up. And yeah, it's a terribly oppressive place, but at least it's a civilized place, kind of.
Devils thrive on oppression.
That's just it. Like, The devils will actually work together. This is like major meta knowledge, but the devils will actually work and go to the city of Brass in the Plane of Fire to buy slaves from the fire genies.
Nice.
So, I mean, I'm not saying they're nice people, but demons just want to destroy everything they can get their bloody hands on. Demons are dicks.
My little fairy is chaotic good in alignment. She's a bit of a wanderer, very indulgent to herself. She wants something, she goes after it. She's a little nomadic, which I think makes good for life on the sea. Her background, I literally took Witchlight Hand. So she used to work at the Witchlight Carnival, and she did good there. And that gives her skill proficiencies in performance and sleight of hand. So that might come in handy.
I mean, I'd argue that you could probably climb into and out of someone's purse.
Pretty easily, yeah. So, yeah, that... have proficiency with bird pipes, because that is just cool.
What's a bird pipe?
It's like smaller version of pan pipes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That thing in the Disney movie played? That, but smaller.
And at the Witchlight Carnival, that's where I say she learned to speak primordial, which is just kind of cool.
Yeah, because you would have been in the Feywild and met all sorts of interesting characters.
Yep. And so for her, no seriously tragic backstory as to why she left the Feywild. She just got bored. She wanted to explore. And she... found the ocean and all the various seas to be incredibly fascinating.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
So at some point you will find yourselves employed upon ships. What role would you like to take? Because I can fill out the rest of the ship with all of the schmucks that they need. But if you can think of a reasonable job.
I'm proficient in perception, so I want to be the guy in the crow's nest checking it out. And then I can cast spells from above there if I need.
You also are proficient in water vehicles, which means you know how to drive a boat.
Never mind then, I want to be the navigator.
You could be like first mate, like you know all the shit.
Yeah, I don't want to be the one in charge, but can I be the one just under that dude?
I mean, you could just be the helmsman, and there's, you know, the who, whether it's the captain, the first mate, or the second mate running around at that point, they tell you, we need to go this way, and then start yelling at people to start pulling on ropes, and it's your job to turn the wheel and make the boat go that way.
Okay.
Under a normal shift, the day will be split up into three crews. And whether you get the day, the night, or the morning, the afternoon, or the overnight shift will depend on your rank, which, if you're new to a crew, don't expect to get the daytime shifts. But under a normal sailing day where nothing is happening, somebody will be running the rigging, somebody will be running the helm, and somebody will be on navigation, like up in the crow's nest. If ship-to-ship combat breaks out, I'm still kind of working out how movement of a ship is going to work and speed and all sorts of stuff. I might just theater of the mind it and make it cool, but somebody's going to be, again, driving the boat and swinging it around so that the cannons and the ballista can be position, and then somebody else is going to be in charge of firing the weapons.
So we can actually like have a boat that can we like upgrade the cannons and stuff like will they be like actual weapons, like as if, you know what I mean?
Yes, that is something I'm going to put that's into cool the game.
That's so cool.
You aren't going to start out like ideally. Asking you guys to step into the leadership roles right out the gate, I think, is asking an awful lot of you guys.
Yeah, I'll just throw it back.
But you'll work your way up, and eventually, you'll likely end up with your own ship. Whether that's because everybody on your current ship died and you're the only ones left, or because you decided to buy your own boat and strike out on your own.
I'll kill those fuckers when they sleep.
There could be a goddamn mutiny on your hands and you're looking around going, shit, there's nobody left. The fuck? Or we went ashore, came back, and everyone's dead. Shit.
Damn.
But there are options. And there are going to be options. I'm going to steal a little bit of your agency out the gate. Promise to hand it back to you right away, quick. And there are going to be different options. Like, there will be options to go into piracy. There's also a thriving trade industry that the piracy navies from different countries that you could sign up with. These are all factions that you can both join and become friends or enemies of.
I love it.
You're also going to encounter the city Trivium first in the south. It's the smallest of the three nations. But it's also a majocracy and run by wizards. They're doing all right.
You are breaking up bad all of a sudden. Is that for anyone else?
Oh,
me too.
God damn it.
No, you're good now.
Yeah, that always works.
Of course. All right. You just got to yell at the phone and it works.
Can my little fairy be like a doctor. Well, maybe not even the doctor, but like a nurse.
If that is the role you wish to take on a boat, that is certainly something that they would need.
I was just looking at the list that you had posted before, and she's too small to be, you know, a helmsman on the rigging or a deckhand, you know? But one of the spells I have prepared for is Cure Wounds, so that'll help. And she's fast, like she can, you know, grab stuff. Tools and things for the doctor.
And what is your, what's your medicine skill?
Oh, good question. Let me flip this sheet back over.
So are you like the size of like Tinkerbell, like that?
Yeah. I'm
6 to 8 inches. So, yep. You know, you can't climb through a lock, but
6 to 8 inches is average.
I've got a +4 to medicine.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's my wisdom. So, I put my highest in wisdom.
But you're basically our cleric.
Maybe. I'm the wisest.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd actually argue that you would see yourself as more of a fairy veterinary, because you know you're really good at fixing up all these other races.
Yes,
rhyme, bro. Fairy veterinary.
You know what? In the event of the world ending, I would sooner have a veterinarian work on me than a doctor. Because a veterinarian knows how to create things from other things to work in place of official things. I hope that made some kind of sense, because I've lost all the words that I needed to describe that.
And no, that's totally fair.
Yeah. Fuck doctors, pro vet.
Yep.
If you ever find yourself on an alien planet and need medical care, you want a veterinarian, because a doctor will have studied the alien body in depth. The veterinarian will know a little bit about a bunch of things and hopefully will be able to fix you.
Yep. Plus, also, if there's zombies, vets are trained to not let their patients bite them. So.
Yep.
Are we planning on ending this in 8 minutes? I'm just saying, because I'm probably going to dip out around 10:30.
Yeah, I'm just going to go over like some more details, answer questions, you know, as shit pops into my head.
Oh, I've got one thing that just popped up again. My fairy will not tell anyone her name.
What does she go by?
N. Like the letter N is in Nancy.
And as in not telling you shit.
Pretty much. No, because of that old thing where, you know, you tell a fair, you tell a fae your name, then they have control over you. I don't know if that exists in D&D lore. I just thought that would be hilarious if she just refused to tell anyone her name because she didn't want to give them control or power over her.
I love it. Do it.
Do you know how people in a fantasy world get ADD? They meet a fae who says, hey, can I have your attention? And you go, yeah. And there it goes.
That's what happened to Peter Pan.
Yep.
If you're ever in the Feywild and someone says, can I have your name? You say, no, my name is.
So can we be bad guys in this then if we're pirates? Like, we can legit be bad guys, eh?
Yeah.
I'm writing it in so that there are three different militaries run by three different nations, which you'll learn about their government. I don't want to ruin all the surprises, but there's three different armies that you can join. There are the pirates, there are the pirate smugglers, and then there are the trade ships that are getting raided and the military ships that get attacked. You know, it depends on whether the pirates think they can take the ship or not.
What about the option of forming our own government and fuck those three?
We might want to level up first.
Oh yeah. Fucking end game shit.
You probably noticed there's a couple islands that I haven't pointed to that are different colors. You will learn about them, but there are more forces at work. And if you look at the big expanses that these countries say they control, I mean, on paper they do. But, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah.
I love it, Caleb. This is great.
This is going to be so much fun, Caleb.
Okay, but here's the deal, though. We're not allowed to quit before it's over. I don't want to stop anymore. I want to finish.
Okay.
I want to finish yours too, Megan. I'm almost willing to go twice a week.
Ah, we will someday.
Okay.
We'll bounce back and forth, you know.
Yeah.
But pirate shit's amazing. I'm excited.
Run a couple.
It is.
More adventures.
So,
I've also added.
But after, sorry. Continue, Taylor.
Oh, I was just going to say, I add a, there's also another class of sword. It's the Cutlass, which is just a short sword that does slashing. Pistols and muskets and blunderbusses do exist. Blunderbuss fires in a 15-foot cone and is useless beyond that range, but deals the most damage. I believe that is 2d10. A musket is 2d8, and a pistol is 2d6. But it takes a full round to reload any of these firearms.
Since just we're doing pirates, can I have a peg leg, but that unscrews into a sword?
But then how would you walk?
Like I'd limp around like what's his name? That famous pirate that everyone knows about that I can't think of right now.
The one leg. Yeah, but your leg would be missing.
Yeah, but I'd have a peg, and I'd limp around. No, it's a bad idea for a wizard, maybe.
I mean, it could, instead of a belaying pin, you could have a metal peg leg.
I'm just thinking about this now, and it's like, man, I'm not even going to be attacking. It seems cool in theory, but I'd never use it, and it would just slow me down.
Not true. Not true. You've been kidnapped, and we're taking all of your items. Are they going to take off the unscrewable leg? Probably not. It's a hidden weapon that isn't hidden. Sure, you got to give up some mobility to use it, but...
Okay, instead of that stupid club, what is it called then?
Belaying pin? Yeah. You have a peg leg that unscrews. Sure.
So, the same stats though? The 1d4 minus 2?
Yep. Yep.
And I'll call it peg leg sword?
Sure. It's still bludgeoning damage, but you're beating someone to death with your leg.
So we'll just not have the metal in there and just have it as a peg leg that I use.
Okay, then it's wooden, which will actually help you if you fall in the water.
Okay, done.
Your leg tries to float to the top. Yeah, cannons also are, I believe, a 3-round reload, like, fire rate. So fire, and then 2 rounds of clearing it out and loading it up again. Whereas, like, trebuchets and ballistas, big crossbows, are only 2. That's, I'm still working on stuff, but... yeah, we'll work out. I'll do some more reading on ship-to-ship combat. Underwater combat will be a thing. The rules in D&D are that you can hold your breath a number of minutes equal to 1 plus your constitution modifier number of minutes, minimum 30 seconds, even if you have a negative modifier. And then once you hit the end of that time, you have a number of rounds equal to your constitution modifier before you suffocate, drop 0 hit points, and start making death saves because you're drowning.
Wicked.
Swimming is difficult terrain unless you have a swim speed. All attacks that aren't piercing essentially have disadvantage. Ranged weapons all have disadvantage. They're just thinking if you jump into the water and start fucking around with shit.
Well,
the world is non-Euclidean, so...
Megan will be able to turn into water creatures, I assume, eh?
Eventually.
I hope there's spells that let me breathe underwater.
There's potions. We could always, I don't remember how expensive they are, but we'd have to stock up, maybe get a couple when we're on land.
And, you know, I'm sure you could pick up a water-breathing spell, and then you could maybe make scrolls of water-breathing.
Ooh.
I'm in. I'll just cut gills in my neck like water would.
Because I'm also planning on having downtime be a more prominent thing in this game, where it's not like we're going to roleplay every single day, but it's like, okay, we're in port for 2 weeks.
And then, you know, you'll pick something you do for each week.
Hookers and beer.
That is an option.
All right, guys.
But that means you're also not... Go ahead.
Is it a good time to duck out, or will I be rude?
Yeah, if you want to duck out, now's a good time to duck out.
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up.
I'm really excited about this nautical shit.
Yeah.
I've been obsessed with pirates. I mean, Black Sails is one of my favorite shows ever. I don't know if you guys ever watched
and,
that.
Yeah, if you want to join pirates and rob the shit out of everybody, that is, and try and find the compass pieces and just literally find unlimited wealth.
That's what I want to do, is be a super evil, but I'll let my party decide and I'll follow suit.
We can discuss.
Yep.
Yeah.
I am not opposed to you guys being the bad guys.